Missy and I have gotten more skilled at adults throwing fits. We're going to see if she can dust off how children throw fits. And I've never been more glad to get up here and away from a situation my entire life. Be thinking of Missy, I guess. It's good to see everyone out this morning and then those joining us on Facebook. This month is going to be an attempt to do sermons all on appreciation, sermons on gratitude and thanksgiving. That's what we're going to start this new series this morning, and I challenge you and encourage you all as part of this series for the days that we have left to write down something for which you are thankful for. If you're on social media, well, if you're not on social media, congratulations. You keep doing what you are doing. But if you are on social media and you want to do so, share something that you're thankful for each day. But again, always be prepared for someone to tell you that you really shouldn't be thankful for that. But really, it is good for us to give thanksgiving. And not only is it good for you to give thanks, it's good for other people to hear our thanksgiving. It's good for other people to hear our gratitude. I think of political campaigns and elections, and don't worry, I'm not going to offer any commentary on that. But with those things, there always comes disappointment and discouragement and complaining for at least half the people. No matter where they go or what they do, there are going to be some who are incredibly discouraged and disappointed. And when it's over, they need that leader of the campaign to show them gratitude. Those workers need to hear that leader give them encouragement. I think that ever since really March of 2020, nothing has been like it was before. I think we're tired of it. I am tired of it. We're tired of people getting sick. We're tired of masks. We're tired of distancing. I'm tired of things not feeling like they used to. I'm tired of not being able to go into the lobby at certain businesses. I mean, there are all kinds of things we are tired of. And we're exhausted and we are ready for a change. And maybe we're ready for things to be the way that we want them to be. And people desperately need to hear your gratitude. They need to hear your thanksgiving. Because let's be honest, it's hard right now. It's hard at certain periods in our life to find things to be thankful for. It's a whole lot easier to find things to complain about, right? I like telling people that my superpower is complaining. But right now, that's not special. You can throw a rock and hit something anywhere you throw something to complain about. And so I think I've done this psalm before. You're kind of getting a psalms. We do psalms on Sunday nights. And so for this series, you're going to get a little bit of Sunday nights on Sunday morning. And I think we've done this psalm before. But I think it really fits this time we are living. We've looked at, again, this psalm on Sunday nights. I want to look at it again. I think it's easiest to give thanks in the sunshine, but that it's most important to give thanks in the storm. And that's what I want us to think about this morning, that it's most important to give thanks in the storm. It's most important for you in the midst of the storm to find things to be thankful for. It's most important for you to find things to be grateful for in the midst of the storm. But it's also most important for the people in your life to hear you give thanks in the midst of the storm. Regardless of the circumstance, we give thanks. And that's what James tells us to do in the first chapter of James. Consider it joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. There is so much to still give thankful for in the midst of the storm, and that's when it's most important to give thanks. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to be like Pollyanna. That doesn't mean that we have to dismiss. It doesn't mean that we have to ignore the things that are wrong. It doesn't mean that being hopelessly optimistic where we say, well, things really aren't that bad. We can, as I say on Sunday night so often, we can acknowledge the things that are bad, the things that are broken, the things that hurt, the things that we don't like. But in spite of those things, in spite of all those things we don't like, we still give thanks. And it's so incredibly important for others to see us doing that as well. But let's also be honest. People are already very aware of what's wrong. I mean, you all don't need me standing up here to remind you of everything that we're tired of and all the reasons that we have to complain, because we're already aware of those things. And guess what? So is the rest of the world. So is everybody else around us. And it can feel really good to complain and gripe about everything in the world and in our life. But people also need to be built up. People need to be encouraged. And we can, as Christians, participate in that. Imagine, as Christians, the power we have, the power of our words that they hear us say, or the words that we type out on a screen for someone to read. We have the influence, or we have the power to influence the way people look at the world. You have the power to influence the way people live their life, simply by finding things to be thankful for in the midst of a storm. So let's look at Psalms 57, and we might call this a psalm for the storm. I want to look at five things from this psalm that we can be thankful for, even in the most difficult times. So five things, and you may be struggling with one thing, so these can be your first five to write down if you want. You can rejoice in these things no matter how bad things get. Psalm 57, verse 1, David says, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in my soul takes refuge. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me." And I want to break that down just for a second before I give you that thing to be thankful for. But he says, my soul takes refuge in you. And this is probably just a side note, but remember, when you're reading the Bible and it talks about your soul, it's not talking about some disembodied spirit. When you read soul, it's talking about your whole self, your whole life. When David says, "My soul takes refuge in you," he isn't talking about a spook, he isn't talking about a spirit, he isn't talking about a ghost. He is talking about his whole self, and his whole self takes refuge in God. And I love that metaphor of the shadow of your wings, just like that mother hen gathering her chicks. And David says, "This is how you are, God, for me. And I take refuge in the shadow of your wings, and you fulfill your promises for me. You fulfill your purpose for me." God is a God who keeps his promises. Just as God had a purpose for King David, he had a purpose for all of Israel. And God kept his promises for all of Israel so that the whole congregation of God's people could sing this psalm generation after generation after generation, long after this particular storm had passed by. There would be other storms. That's life. Don't worry. Once this storm's over, another one's going to come. But guess what? God will be there at that one too, to shelter you in the shadow of his wings. He has a purpose for his people. He has a purpose for us, and God will fulfill his purpose. God cannot lose. His purpose cannot fail. His purposes for us cannot fail, regardless of how big the storm might be. So the first thing that we can be thankful for is that I can be thankful that God is a place of refuge. How about you guys? No matter how big the storm, no matter how bad the storm. And this is not to discount the storm, because some of you all are going through something in your lives so much bigger than not just being able to go into a lobby at an eating place. You've got some very big, some very hard, some very real problems. But God is your place of refuge today and every single day. No matter how big or bad or scary or how hard or how difficult the storm may be, thank God, you have a refuge, and it is him. He is your refuge. Sometimes we say some things like, and it feels kind of cliche, it just feels like a pat answer. But this is what will get us through. This is our foundation. This is our reality. And recognizing this reality, that this reality will never end. This pandemic that we're going through, it will end. Whoever is running the country, that's going to end. No matter what happens, no matter what the storm is, that storm will come to an end. Whatever happens in life, whether good, great, bad, or indifferent, it's going to run its course. But this truth will never run its course. God is our refuge, And that truth will never come to an end. Our life doesn't have to be a roller coaster of ups and downs. These storms come and go, but God, in his merciful ways, will always be that reality. Verse 3 says, and he will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. And I love the word send. He will send. And the Psalms talk, and all throughout scriptures, and that's going to be part of our series this month. God's steadfast love, his hesed, that's always God's character. That's always the way biblical authors talk about the character of God. That he is a God of steadfast love and faithfulness. A love that doesn't end. A love that doesn't waver. A love that is not fickle. Steadfast and faithful. Steadfast love. But in this psalm, he talks about sending out. That isn't just God's character. It's something that God sends to the rescue. He sends his steadfast love. He sends his faithfulness. And then we might think of all the different ways that that could be true for David. How God sent out his steadfast love and faithfulness to rescue David in times of trial. Or that God sent out his steadfast love and faithfulness to rescue Israel. And how many times that has been true. But for us today, standing here after the cross, how much more is that true in what Jesus has done? How much more is it true than what God has done through Jesus? Jesus is the embodiment of God's steadfast love and faithfulness. And God has sent him out. That's the second thing. I'm thankful that God sends help when I'm in trouble. And we could talk about all these temporary small things. Well, I was in trouble here and I prayed to God and he helped me. But ultimately, big picture, the help that God sends, the steadfast love that God sends, the faithfulness that God sends, is Jesus Christ. And I love the Gospel of John. We spent all of 2020 in the book of John, and that's one of the themes. Jesus says in John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Sent me. Send help. Send your faithfulness. Send rescuing. This is what we can thank God for. We can thank God that he has sent his steadfast love, that God has sent his faithfulness to help us in times of trouble. And again, this whole month, I want us to think about this fact that gratitude for the past, and we can thank God for everything that he has done in the past, that gives us courage for the present and for the future. That's why we can say, I know this is going to be okay. I know I'm going to be all right. I know that I'm going to be raised up. I know that God will rescue me from whatever. If I get a diagnosis today that says my death is imminent, I am not going to like it. I'm not going to be happy. But I know that I will be raised up to live forever. I know he will rescue me even from death. Why? Because of what he's already done. Because of the resurrection has already begun in Jesus Christ, because he's already sent his steadfast love and faithfulness. So I know that no matter what trouble I get into, no matter what happens right now, God will rescue me. We have to think, and we have to talk, and we have to share as people who know this truth. People who know that God will send help when we are in trouble. Look at verse 4. He says, my soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man, whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. And notice that metaphor. He says, I'm in a lion's den, but he's not talking about a lion's den like Daniel was in. He's talking about a metaphorical lion's den because these aren't lions, but these are people who are like lions, whose mouths and words are like swords and arrows. Have you guys met them? Have you ever experienced that? From your friends or your family or your neighbors, people in your community, in the world, whose teeth are like spears and tongues are as sharp as swords? There's number 3. You notice this truth. I'm thankful I can acknowledge the dangers and difficulties without losing faith. That's what David does. He acknowledges the dangers and the difficulties, but he hasn't lost faith. I think sometimes, like we said before, we think we have to be like Pollyanna, that we have this idea that if we're going to be grateful and thankful people, that we can't acknowledge the dangers and difficulties of life. But nothing could be further from the truth. You can acknowledge the dangers and difficulties of life. You can acknowledge how big the storm is, as long as you acknowledge that your God is bigger. God is bigger than the storm. God is stronger than the dangers. That does not mean that it's not dangerous. That does not mean it's not difficult. It doesn't mean that I have to like it or enjoy it. It doesn't mean you have to dismiss it. It doesn't mean you can't say it. You can say this is hard and this stinks and I don't like it. I'm tired of it. And this is dangerous and this is difficult and it's no fun, and that's okay. You haven't lost your faith. Do we put ourselves in that position sometimes? Where we feel like we can't be honest with what we're going through? Where we feel like we can't be honest with how difficult or dangerous or discouraging something is? Because I think we do. I think we put ourselves in that position. So it's okay to acknowledge that this is hard without losing faith. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the scripture gives us permission to say, when something is dangerous, when something is difficult, when something is discouraging. Verse 5 says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves." Just a couple of things here. He says, "Let your glory be over all the earth." And again, when he talks about glory, he's talking about God's, literally God's weight. But it's the evidence of God's nobility, the evidence of God's reign, like a king's crown. We think of a king, and we think of a crown. We think the bigger the crown, the mightier the king. So the crown is evidence. It's a manifestation of the king's glory, of his rule, of his reign. The psalmist prays, "Let your crown, let your glory be over all the earth." And then he prays for the destruction of his enemies. He prays for their wickedness and evil to end. And notice the way, not just in the Psalms, but the most of Scripture talks about the way God punishes people as letting them fall into their own trap. And I sort of think of Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. Wile E. would always set a trap for the Roadrunner, and every single time he would end up getting blown up. He would fall into the trap himself. We call that poetic justice. He got what he deserved. What he set for someone else sprung on him. Well, I think we know God invented poetic justice. And eventually, all evil will spring on itself. It will destroy itself. God will allow and make sure evil is dealt with. And that's number 4 that I'm thankful for. I'm glad that God will deal with evil. Aren't you guys? That is the only way. That knowledge, embracing that truth, is the only way that we can turn the other cheek. It's the only way that we can go the extra mile. When Jesus says, if somebody sues you for your tunic, then you give them all of your clothing as well. The only way you can love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, the only way, knowing that God will set everything right. God will deal with evil. So we don't have to worry. I think some of us feel like, boy, if I don't stand up and I don't fight this, then evil is going to win. That's nonsense. That's not biblical. That's not gospel. Gospel is God rules and reigns and evil cannot prevail. That doesn't mean we participate in it, obviously. But it does mean that we don't have to fret over evildoers. Just take it off your shoulders. You don't have to worry. God will deal with evil. And no matter how bad it looks, no matter how scary it seems, the enemy may look, the enemy still cannot win. Evil cannot win. God wins. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Our God rules and reigns, and evil cannot win. Imagine the confidence and the gratitude and the thanksgiving and the joy in which you could live your life in spite of the way things appear to be. Evil cannot prevail. We can be thankful for that every minute of every day, no matter what is going on in the world. Again, it doesn't mean we like it when evildoers prosper. Of course not. It doesn't mean that we like it when evildoers do hurtful and evil things. But it does mean we do know how this story ends. We do know who wins. Verse 7 says, my heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. Earlier he was talking about God's glory, and here he talks about his own glory. David's own, the psalmist's own glory, his own rule and reign and nobility, and he's going to awake his glory, awake his weight, and use his weight to praise God, to praise the Lord. He says, I will awake the dawn. Verse 9, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Let your glory be over all the earth. Let your rule and let your reign, let your crown be over all the earth. That's what I'm thankful for. Number five, I'm thankful that God rules over the earth. And isn't that the gospel? That God's rule and reign has been established, and his anointed one, Jesus, has come to earth and will come and has come and will come again. That God has established his rule and reign over the earth. And again, think about it. Just as we finish up, we're talking about Israel. This little speck of a place where Yahweh, the creator God, was known. And again, in this tiny little nation, 7,000 miles away from here, way over across the earth and on the other side of history, yet here we are in 2021 worshiping Yahweh. He rules and reigns over us. His glory has extended over the world, and we pray for it to extend further. We pray, may your name be hallowed, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as in heaven. This is why we give thanks. We are thankful God rules over the entire earth. We're thankful that Jesus says all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And no matter what, that is true. No matter what is going on in the world, no matter how dark the storm, no matter how hard, no matter how dangerous, God rules through his anointed one, Jesus Christ. And we like to say things like, no matter who's in the White House, Jesus is on the throne. Do we really believe that? Is statements like that your rock steady foundational truth that gets you through everything, no matter who is in the White House, Jesus is on the throne? It should. No matter what is happening in this world, Jesus reigns. That's the good news. The good news is that God has already won. Victory has already been claimed. So yes, we have to be a people who acknowledges evil and brokenness and wrong and sin. And we acknowledge those things, but it doesn't mean and it doesn't diminish the truth that God reigns. As Christians, we are good news people. We are gospel people. And we have to live and talk like good news people. Notice what he says in that last verse. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. It's right sometimes to complain. I'm not saying that there isn't a time to complain, but the scriptures never say, go and complain among the peoples. I will complain among the nations. It never says that. They need to hear us give thanks. The world needs to hear the good news that God rules over the earth, that Jesus is on his throne. Let's not be the people who are tossed to and fro every time something new happens. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Why? Because God's glory is over the earth. So five things as we finish up to be thankful for in the midst of the storm. One, God is my place of refuge. Two, God sends help when we are in trouble. Three, I can acknowledge the dangers and difficulties without losing faith. Four, God will deal with all evil. It cannot win, it cannot prevail. And five, God rules over the earth. Again, we are in a storm and it's hard and it's challenging. And after this storm, another one's going to come. But these things will never change. These things are always true. So let's end the way we began by acknowledging that it's always easiest to give thanks in the sun, but it's most important to give thanks in the storm. It's most important for us to be a church to build each other up in the midst of the storm by giving thanks to God for all of the things that he continues to do and continues to be true. And it's good for the nations. It's good for the peoples. It's good for the world. For them to hear good news people giving thanks to our God. They need to hear our gratitude. They need to hear our thanks. They need to see our steadfast love. But remember, that's because, I say, but remember, I want to say, because we remember, that's why we do these things. That's what Christianity is. It's a religion of remembrance. We need to remember what God has done. Not only all of the scriptures from story, but especially what he has done for us in Jesus. And by remembering what he has done in the past, so we can have courage for our present and our future. We know that our God reigns, and we know that he is and he will always be victorious. So let's not lose sight of that this week. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're ready to claim that victory by being baptized into Jesus, by starting your life anew. Or maybe you've been discouraged. And again, that's okay. You don't have to feel ashamed of being discouraged. I think everybody in this room, if they're honest, can tell you they've been discouraged. The Psalms are filled with acknowledgments of discouragements. If you are discouraged, let us know. Let us know how we can help you, how we can pray with you and for you. Let us know how together that we can remind ourselves of the things that continue to be true in the midst of the storm. If we can help you in any way, please come as together we stand and we sing.